to my queens and kings, baby. We're here to get our mind right and our ground right. So pick your head up, baby, here on Drag Therapy. Hey, you guys. Welcome back to the Drag Therapy Podcast. I am your host, Amber Gandhi, a.k.a. Fatal Attraction, for the ones who don't know. And welcome back. And this is episode 17, season 2. And I'm so excited to be doing this episode to let you guys know what's been going on with me. Just catching up on new topics and all that. This is my first podcast of 2023. I know I'm late, but, you know, the procrastination has gotten the best of me. But, you know, you live, you learn to wake up and conquer another day. So let's get into it. I want to talk about this bitch that's been a pain in my ass for a long time. Yes, a pain in my ass. And this bitch is named procrastination. I know I'm not the only person that deals with procrastination, but I've been dealing with trying to overcome and defeat procrastination for a long, long time. And so it made me wonder, lately, the past few years, I've been talking to a therapist, you know, like, just to help me get through my shit. Not that there's something wrong, but, you know, there's plenty of reasons that people can talk to a therapist. Like, a therapist can be consulted just for many things, just for a normal day and trying to weed out everyday normal life stuff. But I really just want to get down to the bottom of, like, the way I think, the way I move, like, and stuff like that. So it just had me wondering, like, why do I procrastinate so much? And as she was getting to know me and, you know, was going over things and she's learning my background and stuff like that. And I come to realize that a lot of my procrastination has come from fear. A lot of fear. That's all it is. Like, because as a child, like, I have dealt with, like, feeling not being seen, you know, so I always felt like I had to work harder. I always felt like I had to, like, people please to a certain extent. Even though all my life I always felt like I wasn't a people pleaser, but I just came to this realization that I probably am in another way, you know? So, like, a lot of my procrastination came from fear. What comes from fear. And a lot of it has to deal with, like, me being abandoned emotionally. Not physically, but emotionally. Like, I have dealt with being abandoned emotionally, like, when it comes to, like, affection, you know, just words or just a reassurance as a child. So it kind of led to that fear of me having to want to prove myself constantly over and over and over. And when I feel like I have proven myself, it doesn't get recognized. So it kind of put this thing in me that makes me want to procrastinate because I'm fear of doing it, because it won't get the praise or it won't be seen from when I do it. And so, like, that led to me feeling misunderstood a lot as a child and as an adult. Like, it rolled over to my adulthood. And so it's gotten worse and worse, like, over the years of me procrastinating, like, putting things off. Like, I be having all these ideas in my head, but I just sit on them. And, like, it be years and years from now. Like, out of my clients and people come to me, they be like, why haven't you did this yet? I'm waiting on this, you know? Like, and it's really just that fear of thinking, like, people wouldn't support it or whatever. But I'm trying my best to, like, get over that. And over the years, like, that end up leading to me having hyper independence. Like, I do things on my own when I ask for help. Then that led to me being stressed out, you know, like, I just felt like I was alone in everything that I was doing. And I always felt like that as a child. So my procrastination is way deeper than me just, like, oh, just putting off something. So, like, it's the whole, like, thought process for me, like, me having to talk myself down for months and months or weeks or a few minutes at a time just to get something done. And it, and, like, doing and completing tasks became very painful for me to do. Like, I dreaded doing it. Like, it became very stressful. And so, like, I just came to a point where, like, enough is enough. Like, I'm just gonna start doing it, you know? And this year I have learned that, like, God will put you through a test of things, especially when you're used to functioning a certain way. Like, I'm used to functioning like not having to ask for help, doing things on my own, figuring things out, like all of it, because it's just what I'm used to. Like, that's how I function. In my whole 33 years of life, I never knew that that way of functioning was unhealthy until now, like in my adulthood. And it came to a point where God put me in a position where I had no other choice but to rely on someone else doing something for me or having to ask for help. And that kind of put, like, that made me want to do more research on being hyper independent. And I have been hyper independent, like, for a long time. Long as I remember, I feel like I've been functioning on my own just fine. I'd have made it this far with it, like, and I had no other way of doing things. But this year has taught me that there's no way that I can function without someone else. Like, you're going to eventually have to ask for help. Like, God can break all this grown toughness down, like, literally. And that's what it ended up becoming for me. And so, like, that's why I'm glad I'm in therapy to help me, like, just sort out all of this that I have in my mind. Like, because for me, I thought I was going crazy, but it was good to know that I'm not the only one that goes through these type of things. And it's crazy how common it is in the Black community, and especially with females, like, and women, like, especially when we had to be masculine all these years, you know, having to do things on our own, pay all the bills, like, being the single mother, like, having to take care of things, the home, the house, like, and not having any type of help or support in anything. So we end up becoming hyper independent. But I learned that that's not happiness. Like, I can't just function that way. So now that's my number one goal, is to stop procrastinating. And I just learned something interesting. You might hear me turning pages in my notebook because I had to write down some notes about this. I never knew that it was more than one type of procrastination. There's, like, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 types of procrastination. Like, I never knew these. Like, this is new information to me. And I'm gonna name all of them for you guys. So number one is the perfectionist. I had the issue with being a procrastinator too. Like, that's the excuse I use for me procrastinating, because, oh, I wanted to be perfect. I don't want to put out something too early and then, like, it fails. But that's just, it's that fear coming back to me the whole time. When I'm being a perfectionist, is that I'm just being fearful of putting it out. And number two, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but it's defier. I don't know exactly what they mean. I probably have to come back and look that up for y'all. But the next one after that is the dreamer. Like, I really feel like I'm all of these in some type of way. But the dreamer is like the person that always dreaming, but have all the ideas in their head, but doesn't do anything with them. Like, you put it off, you put it off, put it off. Like, fear again. Like, all procrastination is fear of doing something to getting something done. Okay, the next one is passive procrastination. I'm probably gonna have to go. Let me go back and reference back to what all of these mean. I don't want to just throw these out and don't have the evidence to back it up. So let me go back and look these up. Give me one second. Where is it? Okay, here we go. Okay, let's go back to the second one. When the one I said, I didn't know if I pronounced it right or not, but it's defier. I don't know if I, you know, don't quote me on that. I don't know if I said it right or not. But defier is imagining a situation your boss is giving you a boring task and you feel like you just don't want to do it, it's not worth it, and so you procrastinate and put it off. Yeah, I definitely experienced it in college, where my major was journalism, and I really love to write. I still love to write to this day. But once I got in college and I took this class, like, they gave out these topics that we had to write about, and I just didn't want to do it. Like, I feel like the topic was boring. I didn't want to do it. I feel like this defeat the purpose. Like, I just gave up and didn't want to do it. So I put it off, never did it. And so, yeah, I can actually identify with that. And so let's go back to passive procrastination. Passive procrastination is, okay, say, active and passive procrastination. The difference between these type of procrastination is that active procrastination involves deliberate delay. Deliberate delay that leads to positive outcomes, whereas passive procrastination involves involuntary delay that leads to negative outcomes. Yes, I experienced that too, like doing something, putting it off too late, and then like waiting to the last minute to do it, and then I feel like it was a total failure or whatever. But you live and learn. I'm trying to overcome this. I will eventually. I'm going to get the hang of it. But the next one is anxious procrastination. Anxious procrastination is like we get so excited about this new thing I want to do, or something, a new project, and it's all in excitement. You never do it. You put it off. Like fear. But thinking like, oh, they might not take it well, or they might not like it. Yeah, I experienced all of these. The next one is depressed procrastination. I've dealt with that one too. It's more of like you having a lot going on. You know you have this task that you have to do, and you have plenty of time to do it, but you just can't put yourself up to do it. And so then you become depressed, and you just go down this deep spiral, and it just never gets done. I experienced all these. That's crazy. And the other one is active procrastination. I think we kind of went over that one with the passive procrastination. And so the last one is disorganized procrastination. I know for sure I had dealt with this one before. Disorganized. Well, I actually didn't name all of y'all. Some more. Okay, so disorganized. For sake of simplicity, we categorize these into six personalities: the optimistic, the distracted, the perfectionist, the busy, the guilty, and the disorganized. It's like, you know you want something that you had to get done, but you're not putting in no type of steps in getting it done. It's just all over the place. And so you make up an excuse not to do it. Like, all of these come from fear. And I actually didn't read all of them. I mean, some, and they say the busy procrastination. Like, yeah, I dealt with that one. The acute and chronic procrastination. Oh, yeah, I've dealt with all these, but I never knew that there were so many, like, different types of procrastination until, like, I just tried to, you know, deep dive into what is this and how can I come up with a solution on my procrastination. And so I'm going to share some things with you guys that kind of helped me with my procrastination. And first, I want to share a Bible verse that I try to read daily with my procrastination, like every morning when I know I have a bunch of tasks, and I try to, you know, help with getting things done. First is Proverbs 6:4, and it reads, "Don't put it off, do it now. Don't rest until you do." And it's just a good reminder on me needing to get things done. And it does help, like, it's a reminder on, like, there's a bigger picture here. Like, this is for your better, your kids' future and your future, or you becoming a better person, you know. So, yeah, that helps me. Two, just do it. Like, I had to force myself just to do it. Like, even when I don't feel like I give myself time to breathe, you know, talk myself out of it and just do it. Like, even if it's not the whole full project, at least just get started on it step by step. Okay, and the last one is I set a timer. Like, just set a timer, just enough time for you to get at least part of it done, like I said in the last one. Like, you can set it for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and just do what you got to do within that time. That way, you're not becoming overwhelmed with all the things and all the tasks that you have to do, feeling like you have to do this one big thing all at one time. And I also just do a lot of prayer. Like, I just pray, 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 God, you know, rid me of this procrastination, like, and all these things. But, like I say, one day at a time. And I'm glad that I recognize these things. And I know I'm not the only one that goes through these things, but I hope this helps someone in some type of way, because I didn't have no type of solution for what was going on with me. I never knew, like, procrastination was this big of a deal, or that it can stem from a lot of things from your childhood and so on. And so it's just good that I've learned this about myself, and I'm working on it, and I'm doing, you know, and taking time one day at a time and steps at a time to, you know, do what I have to do to become a better me and to improve my daily life and routine. And also, I realized that my procrastination led, or well, made me feel misunderstood a lot. I'm gonna go back to that because I mentioned it earlier. It made me feel misunderstood a lot. And another thing I learned while I've been in therapy is that it's hard for me to kind of talk about it because it's something new, but I kind of came to the realization of grief. It made me think about me being misunderstood, you know, like, and me being misunderstood, like, I always felt like my escape was has always been my grandmother. And my grandma passed away a few years ago. But at the time she passed, like, my heart was broken, but I couldn't really talk about it, 'cause I always felt like I had a bunch of people around me that always made me feel like I had no right to grieve because their life was more shittier than mine. Like, they had more trauma and grief compared to mine. So I always felt like people always made me feel like I had no reason to grieve. God. For some reason, I always had this experience where people always felt like I never been through anything. I guess because I covered up so well, to the point of where I guess, like, me losing someone, it wasn't that big of a deal. But now, like, my grandma has passed away. Like, it's been like years now, but I'm just not grieving her this year. And it's kind of been really hard for me because it made me think back to my childhood. Like, anytime I felt like, you know, like, depressed or like we're having a bad day, I always ran to my grandma's house. Like, she just always gave me that comfort. And my therapist was telling me, like, you're experiencing something called delayed grief. Delayed grief is where you didn't get a chance to grieve. You held it in, you know, until you just couldn't anymore, until you felt like it was safe for you to let it out. And so now I'm in that stage of, like, grieving my grandmother. Then the funny thing is, like, no one noticed that I was grieving. And it just made me go all the way back to my childhood when I talked told was telling you guys that that's why I feel like the procrastination came from me never being, or never me never feeling like I was seen. So it just made all of that come back to my memory with my grandmother and stuff. Like, that's why it's very important to like seek therapy or seek some type of counseling, you know, or confide in someone that you feel like is a safe space for you. Because I'm sorry, y'all. I kind of like my throat is dry, my allergies acting up, but that's why it's very important to seek those type of things, like especially becoming an adult. Because I never knew my childhood affected me so much until I became an adult. It affected my relationships, like the people I deal with on the daily, my communication style, all of those things. So if you ever want to get a therapist or just want to confide in someone that you feel safe with, please do that. Don't try to keep things locked in and kept to yourself. I really advise people to seek therapy, counseling, you know, any type of, you know, outside help when it comes to just wanting to start your healing process. Or just like I said, nothing has to be wrong. Just a person you can talk to and confide in just for your daily day, you know, normal issues. So that's my goal for the rest of this year, to like just get through everything that I've been dealing with, you know, and trying to overcome that. And everything is a learning process. Like, healing is a continuous process, like that you're gonna have to do for the rest of your life. But the procrastination and the procrastinating is like one of my biggest things that I want to accomplish this year, to like just make better choices when, you know, trying to handle tasks and stuff. So that concludes, you know, the end of this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I hope it was very informative, and I hope I helped someone out. So don't be scared to leave comments and review my podcast, please. It's on all platforms. Make sure you subscribe and take a listen, share with your friends, your family members. And also, I know you guys love that I do the poetry at the end on this one. I won't have any poetry on the end, but I promise on my next one, I will have poetry on the end of that one. So thank you guys for listening. Always. Until next time, peace.
You know, man.